Let's start off with some listener feedback.
Okay.
Yeah. Before we kick it off going too deep into it, I just want to remind folks, if you're going to write to us, please sign your feedback, because I can't always backwards engineer your name from soccergirl69@gmail.com.
Oh, baby.
Did you ever establish if Jamie was a boy or a girl?
No, it's still a mystery.
Yes.
We are still unsure.
Yes.
So the first one is, Dear Podcast Envy, when is the episode where Tim's brother brings in the tapes from his Pastor Tim concert? It hasn't been scheduled yet, but
yeah,
it's in the works.
Well, he says he still has them.
Yeah.
And he's just holding them hostage for something. Like,
I think for this specific purpose, actually.
So he can come back.
Yes.
Only small clips, chunks at a time.
Exactly.
You'll hear on the episode, but I promised him, I was like, we can sit for 4 hours and just tear into these tapes.
It'll I can't wait. That sounds like so much fun for me.
Yeah.
Not like the Pastor Tim was enough.
Honestly, on that note, I have known, well, we've known each other since we were 15, 16 years old.
Right.
I have videos from being over at Psalm's house, one of our friends from high school. And that's when I was like really into the Frank Sinatra and the boy band stuff. And she's got some videos of me singing Frank Sinatra at poolside.
Really?
So maybe I'll tap into her and we can do just like a whole
jamboree
of old lost footage. You've got to have some videos of Plunger or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I've got footage.
Okay.
I got it somewhere. I got to figure out where I put it, but it's somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I think of being poolside, I think Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah. I was 16 and I was just trying to woo a woman.
As one does when they're 16.
Right.
I wooed a lot too.
Okay, Ric Flair.
Woo! Different kind of woo.
All right. Nobody signed that one, so I don't know who sent that, but thank you for that feedback, whoever you were.
It's got to be someone that knows me.
Hopefully.
It has to be, because my Yahoo email is soccerstar84 at Yahoo.
Yeah.
You said this is soccerstar69?
Soccergirl69.
Soccergirl. Yeah. Okay. Does it have all the vowels?
No, it's missing the E in soccer.
Okay. Mm. All right. I mean, mine are missing all the vowels. That's another telltale sign. All right, go ahead.
So the next one, also unsigned. What movie are you all referencing in the beginning of the Float On episode? So I don't know if you guys remember, but in the beginning of the podcast, Tim says, what are we talking about? I Am Legend or something like that. And then we start going around the table and it's like, isn't that the movie with Samuel L. Jackson? And then they're like, oh no, that's the one with, and so we went around the table for like, I don't know, 5 minutes or so.
We are idiots.
I don't think we ever really
finished that one.
No.
Probably my fault, because, you know, when people are trying to think and guess, I just throw out random people and
like Vin Diesel. Yeah.
We were legitimately talking about something that we got interrupted in the middle of, and then I hit record, and then when we started talking about it again, but I couldn't find.
Mm. Were you trying to think of the actor from I Am Legend?
You would think, because that's how it started.
Right?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, but like
I thought it was Chris Rock.
No, you're thinking of the movie.
Here we go.
Hey, Dear Podcast Envy, love the touch of Brian singing his song live on the podcast. The song sounds great. Can't wait to download it.
So, love.
Warm regards.
It's from Jamie.
Is it from Jamie?
And she signs it, music is the future. It's not today. It's tomorrow.
She gets us.
Oh, that's perfect.
She totally gets us. That's perfect. Great.
This is Podcast Envy.
So we are stoked to have yet another guest here on the pod. He's a musician that has been playing in and around the Maryland area since returning from his time in Los Angeles in 2019. He spent 15 years in L.A.
Stunting.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm not much of a stunter.
He spent 15 years in L.A. Fronting and guitar playing in bands like the Whiskey Saints and Burning Jet Black. His new single, Valley Winter Song, is now available on all streaming platforms, along with the full album, One Night in April. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome David Sparrow.
Yeah!
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
We're very happy to have you here. Thank you for joining us. Making the long trip from Baltimore. Hopefully traffic wasn't too bad.
wasn't too shabby.
That's good.
So, you want me to jump in?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so Bacon typically kind of leads off and, you know, wants to know where you were born, what you did when you were 6 months old, and from then on. And it usually takes the first hour and a half to get through your history.
Indeed.
I figured we could kind of flip this a little bit and play on some words here. So if you remember, if you heard the interview with Shelley Starr, part of the interview, I don't know if we kept it in, actually, now that I'm saying it out loud. But
the two-parter one?
She turned the part about birds? She turned us? Yeah, you kept it in?
I kept it in the bonus episode, and there was a YouTube short for
That's what I thought. Yeah. Okay. I thought I heard it on part of... It wasn't the initial episode, because we spent a lot of time just talking about her.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she turned us on to a bird tracking app called Merlin. So I took, David, I took your picture and I uploaded it into the app. And I found a lot of interesting information that I wanted to have you verify.
About sparrows or about me?
Uh-oh.
Well, we'll just see. You know, hopefully, hopefully you have answers to some of these questions. So I heard you're not originally native to this immediate area. Yeah. So right now you're in Maryland.
Maryland.
But you haven't always been there. So was that where you were born though?
Yeah. Born in Baltimore, Sinai Hospital, but grew up in Westminster, Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what was the California thing?
July 2003, I left Maryland.
Yeah. So you were gone for a long time. Wow.
Yeah. Started in Burbank, and the last place I lived was West L.A., West LA is a little pocket to the west of, God, why am I forgetting that? The 405, the massive freeway adjacent to Santa Monica.
Okay.
And I love the beach, but I hate the ocean, so it was sort of lost on me. But once you move to that side of the city, you don't really leave it.
Yeah.
That's how it works, yeah.
So did you, I guess, to kind of go in the direction of where bacon usually starts, was that like a high school, post-high school move or college?
Sort of post-college, yeah, or around that time. I played in a band. I'm going to give like too many dark secrets. It's like ancient history. I played in a band called The Hank in the Baltimore area, and my guitar player, Mike, was like, let's move to L.A., and I was like, I don't have anything to lose. Let's go, so... I'd never been west of like Kentucky before I moved out there. Moved out there sight unseen. So, yeah.
And did you enjoy staying in the same spot, or did you kind of bum around in different?
Well, no. Like I said, places? I think I was in Burbank to start with Mike's college roommate for the first 8 years, and then the rest of the time I was in West LA.
Yeah. Oh wait, were you always kind of in like busy populated areas?
Oh yeah, that's I was talking to Bacon about coming down here. Like I'm from the boonies, but you get down to this area and it's like parkways and the little shopping centers, but it's like I can't tell what's what.
Yeah.
But in LA, like I was waiting, I drove to a show in Orange County like my first couple months living there, and was like expecting some trees to open up, but it's urban sprawl from the TNZ, the 30 mile zone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that what like that stands for?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's Los Angeles. Yeah.
Hey.
And this has been not acceptable, but true.
I won.
Yes, yeah. You did.
That's awesome.
Well, thanks for joining us.
So you're known to have a beautiful singing voice. As sparrows do. And in fact, I've heard it myself, and it is quite lovely. What are some of your favorite songs or types of songs to sing?
I think I was rattling this off in my head on the way down here. I don't know. It feels like a shame to say, but I was a big fan. I guess I still am a big fan of Ryan Adams, even though he's a steaming pile of shit these days.
It's interesting.
I mean, I don't know the man personally, but like he had a chance to redeem himself, and I think he's just back to his old nonsense. But
yeah, he's kind of ignoring it.
He blocked me on Instagram because I commented too much on a live stream. So
wow,
that sort of severed the tie a little bit. But I don't know. He is a great writer. He's prolific, and I don't think you have to be a prolific writer to be a good writer. But like, I envy that ability to like. He's constantly releasing things, so I don't know. He's been the big one for a long time, but then it's like Dave Matthews' band way back when I was first learning how to play guitar, which I feel like I'm a good rhythm guitar player because learning his chord shapes and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the Beatles are the big number one. that was the start of it all.
So those are songs that you kind of incorporate to your set list in addition to your originals.
Yeah, I think I. And I don't know what's really, I think think maybe it's just getting a little older. I've like turned into more of like a folk singer than I used to be. But
your songs like, are kind of, they're like stories.
Yeah, I've never felt like I'm good at that, but I think it's just sort of plopping out these days.
Yeah. So as a social sparrow, as they are, where might we see you out? Like, what are some of the places or regions that you play? I mean, I know that you're kind of a gun for hire.
Yeah, I kind of go wherever the work is. Once again, like we were talking off mic, like there's not a whole lot in Westminster. There's a handful. I really love a place called City Park Gaming and Brew. It's like great beers on tap and people play D&D in the back room.
Oh, nice.
For real. Cool. Land the owner is really supportive of original music. And,
nice.
I'm there most weeks for the open mic on Wednesdays. My friend Jeremy runs. But then there's a Covalent Distillery, which is kind of down the street from, it's CPGB is what they call it.
Okay.
Yeah. But other than that, it's just not much in Westminster.
Yeah.
So I go to Towson, Baltimore once in a blue moon. I was playing a lot of wineries in Northern Virginia a couple years ago, but that kind of tapered off. But
is that just because it's right down 15?
Yeah. Kind of
easy access.
Yeah, it's kind of an easy shot. Yeah.
So how'd you get wrapped up in the Whiskey Saints? How did that come about? Is that something that you auditioned for, or was that people that you were already jamming with?
How many Craigslists did it get? Did you have to go through to get to where it was good?
It's like dark ages. I feel like I met with like 6 or 7, maybe 10 people. And I met Dave and like it was just, yeah, this guy can play. Like, yeah, he was awkward. I feel like I'm awkward. And like personality wise, like there's a Whiskey Saints documentary on YouTube where he recounts the story of us meeting. And it was like about. I think he was wrong though. Like I had Coors Light, and he said I handed him a Miller Light, but it's appropriate. but yeah, we just hit it off, like just swapping songs. Like I had a body of work after my band in Maryland, and he's from Chico, California, Northern California, and yeah, it worked. It's weird. It's so weird to think in hindsight to be a functional band for 14 years
after Craigslist ad.
Yeah. I mean, we were dysfunctional, but we stayed together.
Now, did you guys do like your own independent stuff and then stuff together, or and did you have other bandmates?
Well, yeah, once we met, like we initially called ourselves the Dave, and that's when we would play with the Squares at Cantor's Kibitz Room. It was just two acoustics. And then met a bass player. I think all of the initial band came through Craigslist. We had a guy named Ian who finished law school, and we had to kick him out because, like, you're going to be a lawyer. You're not going to have time to play music.
Yeah. We can't get on you.
And we're too busy with those briefs.
Our drummer Jeff Bell.
Like a chump.
Our drummer Jeff. he worked in production, and you guys were talking about the Good Day LA. His girlfriend at the time worked on Good Day LA, and that was our in to be on the Battle of the Bands.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Dude, that's
it's
crazy.
It's who you know.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, but I don't think I ever had that ambition. I think that's why I'm at the tier I am. Because I'm not shooting for the stars. I'm shooting for a paycheck and some acknowledgement from the audience instead of them staring at the TV or talking over me.
But you constantly find yourself in these positions where you're doing these incredible things that, you know, they may not be getting recognized necessarily at the level that one hopes. I mean, we all hope that we get picked up for something, mm-hmm. you know, a commercial or, I don't know, anything. So you were on the news.
Yeah.
That's legit.
Yeah.
You didn't fabricate that.
No, it was some segment. They were doing a Battle of the Bands on KTLA. And I remember that we had to be, the call was at like 5 or 6 a.m., which is ridiculous. And a soundstage, a new soundstage is huge and freezing. But my guitar player was pumped because Ryder Strong was walking around. I think he did a little segment with somebody.
Was that Boy Meets World?
It is, yeah. Boy Meets
and
World.
And
the guy with the butt cut.
He was in a movie.
He used to have your hair.
He was in a movie called Cabin Fever at the time.
Yeah.
I forget who that Eli Roth was walking around.
Okay.
Wow.
I mean, that's the kind of thing that happens in L.A. Like, you see somebody. My biggest story is that, like, I saw Tom Waits at a newsstand right near the Kibitz Room. And, like, I'm not, like, some diehard Tom Waits fan, but, like, I wish I'd said hello. Like, just, yeah, like, sure. I enjoy your music. Like, that, and well, I saw Ryan Adams once and freaked out. Like, I fangirled, like, ran away.
And he's like, block.
By the block. Time. I was at a thrift store, and I told my girlfriend, he's here. And I ran and I tried the jeans on, and by the time I came back, he was gone. Oh, man.
All for a pair of jeans. Wah, wah, wah. Yeah. There it is.
Hey, y'all, quick note. I want to invite you to follow me on Good Pods. If you haven't heard of it yet, it's like Goodreads or Instagram for podcasts. It's new, it's social, it's different, and it's growing really fast. On Goodreads, we can follow each other and see what we're all listening to, and like any other podcast player, you can search for shows and play them right on the app or on the web for free. And the part that I love best is that on Goodreads, there is a comment section next to every episode where we can chat with each other. I'm excited to hear your feedback and questions about the show. You can find Good Pods on the web at goodpods.com or download the app or use the link in the show notes below. Our username is PodcastNV. Follow us and we'll follow you back. That's goodreads.com or in the App Store.
Do you pick songs that typically just fit your vocal range and kind of, you know, depending, it could be different types of music, different genres, but yeah, you just kind of stick around that. You don't really stretch yourself.
I love doing Blinding Lights by the Weekend. Like, I take it down, like, wow, 2.5 steps. So, yeah. So it's in my range.
Sure. But,
and I sing Jolene, and I sing Borderline by Madonna, and Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper. Like, I try to pick a lot of female vocals and put it where I can do it justice. Yeah. But it's like I said before, I pride myself on, like, picking eclectic songs that it's like, even if you don't know it, like, you're going to enjoy it. Like, it's not a bad song. But I'm a slow writer, and there was stuff that never worked with, like, even like Whiskey Saints era that didn't jive, and Burning Jet Black definitely didn't. So my friend Steven Kohler, like, I'm sort of on a record label called Lost Beat 6, and he hadn't even started that yet, but he ran sound for this band called The Deltas, who I'd play a lot with at the Cinema Bar. Is a great, that was after Kibitz Room. The Cinema Bar in Culver City is a fantastic, like, hole in the wall. It's like the main bar. Well, I guess, yeah, they can see it on there. No, they can't. But it's a really small bar, and you never made a lot of money, but it was like, just the vibe was cool. And I'd always bitch to Steven, like, I want to record an album. And like, he's a sound engineer, and like 2017, I guess, he's like, let's do it. Like, I'll go halves on the production. And we started doing it. I was recording in Burbank. My friends, like, converted a garage with Pro Tools. And it was like, the timing was kind of perfect. Like, the album was like in the can and wrapped, like, just when I decided to move back to Maryland, and went all in, and like, and had the CD, like, 500 CDs made, and they're all gone, which is pretty
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
Made these keychains, like, with my name on them, and like, made my own little program for my last show.
Very cool.
I was like, made my big farewell. I still regret, like, I, like, my friend Joel's like, speech, and I was just like, let's fucking get drunk. Like, I was like,
they got Coors Banquet on tap.
Not heartfelt. It was, I really dropped the ball on that.
This
one.
This town's full of losers, and I'm pulling out the win.
Thanks for the CD sales.
There's a keychain on the house.
But I also got my friend Hunter's in a band called The Tens, and like, I think the run of CDs was like, at that time it was like $1,000 or something like that through CD Baby, and he fronted the money. Like, he's like, I'm betting on you, and I was able to pay him back after that
wow,
show. So
cool.
It's like, I'm leaving on a high note. Like, yeah. I've got my statement. Like, my friend Pasquale was like, this kind of sounds like your love letter to Los Angeles. And like, it wasn't intentional, but I, like, in hindsight, to think about it that way, it kind of was. It was like, because it was material.
With the way it worked out.
Amassed over that time.
Yeah, I was going to say, so you kind of already had, you were kind of cataloging that on the side, and then finally found the opportunity to.
Yeah.
Now, how did you have more songs that made the album?
There's a couple. Let's see, Give Me Some Truth and Get Me Out were two like outtakes that didn't make the record or the album, and I released them as singles like two years ago. Get Me Out was written right before Trump got elected. I don't want to start talking about politics, but
oh, we can.
I think, but it was very inspired by that, and then I released it, I think, during COVID, it just felt like really appropriate.
Yeah,
it was sort of a lucky, like as far as the content goes, it was sort of lucky that it fit into that. And I think Get Me Out has the most hits, and it's like sort of not what I'm doing now because it's like got a synth break in it and like it's electric guitars. Not that I'm opposed to recording something like that, but
was that the song that you played as you walked out of the building to take the plane back to Maryland?
There it is, yeah.
Now, are you doing all the guitar parts, or
No, I played the rhythm, and let's see, Stephen Kohler, my producer, I think he might have played drums. Stephen Kohler, Robert Conrad, and Ryan Pressman were my dudes for the album. Like anything that's not rhythm guitar or like vocal, they were playing drums.
Is that the synth you're talking about?
Yeah, and so yeah. I sang that part, and I was like, Stephen, this is how I want it to sound. Yeah. And he played it on the synth.
I've done that before in the studio where I'm like, I don't know how to do this otherwise, but just listen to me and you just hum it. Right. And they're like, oh, I did that with a violinist.
Nice.
And they
nice.
Figured it out. And I'm that's like, awesome. Oh, God bless you.
Nice. So who did the artwork on the cover?
That is, God.
Because that's you.
Yeah. No, it's from sort of a
undoubtedly you.
And I've always been so weird about like I don't want my face on stuff. Like I just like you know it's like especially as a band, but like as a solo performer, like I just like I don't want my face. Like it's like I created like a band or not a band camp. God, what's that?
Patreon.
SoundCloud.
Oh, SoundCloud. Yeah.
That I called Flight Lessons. That's where I released my podcast, and that's where I put like stuff that just. I didn't want it to be David Sparrow. Sure. Like,
yep.
I just, you know, it's like, this is my album, so, like, I'm going to put my name on it. Beggars and Choosers, like, I don't know. Kings of Leon, most of the records are five syllables. And I don't, like, five's my lucky number, so Beggars and Choosers is five. Mm-hmm. One Night in April is five. Hmm. And I think...
It's, isn't that
I'm
cool?
A weird, that insight. I'm a weirdo yeah. like that.
That's cool.
But Richard Lyons is the guy who did the drawing on the cover, and, like... God, he did that for a song. Like I did not pay him a lot. I still owe that man money. And if he listens to it, like I think I owe him a bottle of nice whiskey. he's from Australia.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah
really.
He's from
we
Australia.
We just found a new listener.
And I haven't talked to him in a while. And I think I tried to mail him his copy of the vinyl once it was made. And I still haven't heard from him. But he works. He's an animator illustrator for, I think it's Naughty Dog is the like video game production company.
Yeah. I've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fantastic. Like he modeled it on a shot of me,
and very he cool. did the color scheme. And yeah, what made you pick the color for the vinyl?
I don't know. That popped, and it's like weird. Like now I could be like, it was because of Ukraine, but like
that's just blue and the yellow. Like,
yeah,
but I guess all that shit was going down when I got it pressed to vinyl, but it wasn't. You know,
you're like, guys, you will not believe this. I just like to play music, okay? Right. It's not political, I promise.
So I have a question on that album. Is Kim a real person that you wrote about?
She is. And that's like usually Kim is pretty much a staple whether I'm playing an original gig or a cover gig. The Whiskey Saints did a Kickstarter campaign and we kind of set the bar too high on what we'd what we'd offer as like the, you know, your gift for contributing. And Kim, she, I think $50 was like, you got a personalized video. But long story short, she contributed, and I think she got a dedication. And I was writing a song, and Kim fit into the chorus. So
very cool.
Forever. Yeah, I think her name's Kimberly Copeland, and I think I may have met her once, maybe. Yeah, this is the hit.
Yeah.
The big single.
Is that a lap steel
guitar?
Yeah. And that was I did rope in other musicians. I'm spacing on that. Brandon Conway was a guy I knew from Cinema Bar. Emily Elkin played some of the cello stuff. Mike Blumberg, my own guitar player, he does that. He's doing that cool, like, loopy, crazy guitar thing on this. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I think I made the record pretty cheaply for how well it turned out.
Oh, it sounds amazing.
It's good. It's a great mix.
Yeah.
I love the placement. Like, you can hear there are some things happening on the left and then on the right and then center.
Mm-hmm.
How do you prep as a singer? How do you prep for a studio? Because sometimes I walk into the studio and I'm like, my voice is shit. And I've recorded stuff that I've gone back and re-recorded later.
I think this, that album took 2 years. So like if something wasn't hitting, I'd have the opportunity to go back. But I don't know. I've been singing my whole life and I'm still like a smoker sometimes. I've been using these nicotine patches, but like I still smoke a little bit, from a pack a day to like a pack that lasts like several weeks, which feels good. But like I never do vocal exercises. Like I think if a take's not happening, like we'll keep powering through until it gets there, or just come back to it later eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a terrible
with the team that you work with, though. Are they like, you're just kind of, you've paid for the time, and so if you have to come back and do stuff, they're cool with it, or do you have to pay for a whole another studio session? Or
well with that was like, we were just, I think Steven and I agreed on like how much it was going to be. Like it was all sort of, you know, wasn't like locked a legit in. Yeah, but with One Night in April, That's because I know lots of musicians, but they all have gigs and they all have other stuff they're doing. And I had a new body of work, and I feel like I keep getting too far.
We can still hear you. give us the late night version of David Spade. Yeah.
I think when I did my podcast, they said I had an NPR voice. but One Night in April I did with my friend Tim Bracken, who's a player around the area, and I just wanted to get it done, and he like just great mic placement, and like the majority of that album is just he hit record, and I was you know, pretending like I was in front of a crowd and we were just shooting the shit. I think it's like the 10th or 11th song, my harmonica holster flopped down mid song. But we cut it. He's like, you can tell that like there's a cut. I was like, I don't care. Let's do it.
But honestly, with so much else going on, you probably wouldn't even notice it unless you were in
the
studio.
I ruined the secret.
Yep.
But I mean, that was because like, I feel like I hate that musicians have to just like create content. Like it's a thing that should take time. But like I, you know, it was itching at me, and I was like, Timmy, like, are you available? And we just did it. Killed it.
I was.
You traveled?
You got it.
Tim Bracken.
Yep. I brought my tambourine. I was there.
Timmy C.
I dropped my tambourine after one of the takes and we cut it.
Yeah. At the right time. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't even know it.
I could tell.
Thank you.
You will.
Because I wasn't anywhere in it. They just cut all my parts. And I played so low.
They couldn't even hear you.
They recast you.
Yep.
It's okay. Another Timmy.
That's right. That's okay. I got over it.
But running with that the five scheme, like I do want to do another full band recording, but it's so cost prohibitive at this point. But I was telling my friend, like, then in October, like, and re-record One Night in April like with full band arrangements, but the clock's ticking on that.
And you almost, in order to be able to afford recording an album, you have to learn how to do all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta come up with a list of the equipment that you need. You have to have the space for it. You have to, you know, fit the space for, you know, being able to record.
Get the PVC pipe.
Jesus Christ.
Put the blankets in the right spot. So,
that's another story altogether.
Yes.
But you basically have to learn how to do everything yourself. And mm-hmm. It's so freaking exhausting. But it's the only way that you're going to be able to save like 10, 15, 20 grand right. on recording an album.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So then you just have to figure, you know, maybe I'll gig more and then I'll be able to afford it. You know, it's kind of, you're going back and forth trying to figure out how to make it work because it's in you. How do you get it out and make it sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So what are your options?
And I'm a solo artist, so it's like I feel like I have to pay. I paid really nominal to the people that worked on Beggars and Choosers, but like I have to pay you something. And these days, like my friend Jenna Lynette, she's a great artist out of my area. She plays pedal steel, bass, like everything. I think when I rehearsed for a show, a full band show 2 years ago, I was paying them, I don't know, like $20 or $40 to get together to rehearse. Like, it's like, that's important to me as a musician. Like, you need to get paid something for your time. Like, you're going to learn the material and come into the studio.
I can't just order pizza and beer.
Yeah.
But that's cool that you have those people that you can rely on and talk to and bounce ideas off of. Because I think that's worth more. Like, if you are all coming to the table with ideas, I mean, that's worth more than I think having a producer that you don't know telling you what you should do. And it's like, sure, we're just kind of following now your vision instead of, you know, what brought us all together in the first place. Right. So it's cool that you have those connections to connect with those people and make those things happen. Mm-hmm. Is there a chance you think you might get the gang or certain gang members, not that you're in a gang, back together to record something while you're out here?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to do that. I think there's like couple songs left in the catalog that have not been recorded that that would actually be served by a full band.
You think EP or full album or what?
Well, I guess we'll get the plug opportunity. I'll just do it early. Like, I'm releasing a new single, but it's a cover of a Fountains of Wayne song, Valley Winter song, in November. There's not a hard date on it yet, but my friend Casey, who I knew through my guitar player in LA, he's also from Chico, California. He now lives in Long Island and has like a little home studio, and like he produces great stuff. He did my singles Now Thoughts and Prayers. But he turned me on that song, and it turned into a staple when I perform. And I guess in June, July, he's like, come up, let's record it. And he loves Christmas music, and it's sort of Christmassy, so we're trying to like hop on it.
There you go.
I sort of didn't answer the question, but
you did. So is that happening sometime soon, do you think, or are you still working out the details?
It's the song's in the can. We've got artwork. It's just gonna be we're gonna release it through he does have like a nom de plume. Saint Ends is what he calls himself. We're gonna release it as David Sparrow and Saint Ends on Lost Beat 6, like my record label. Okay. I don't know why I always put it in quotes. Like,
they can't see it.
Yeah,
it's okay.
He legit registered an LLC this year and is trying to like make it a real functional like business.
Nice.
I'm sort of his mainstream artist, like more straight ahead. He's in a band called the Psychedelic Space Beef Band. There's an act called the Denim Emperor who's pretty cool, but they're a little more. It's like rock or sort of just psychedelic.
Who's the Denim Emperor?
His name's Kentucky, actually.
Okay.
Kentucky Clawson. Yeah.
He just gets denser and denser.
Yeah, but he's also a great player.
All right. So a new segment I'm testing out.
Who is it sponsored by?
Timmy's Timberines.
Nice.
Timmy's Timberines. Timmy's Timberines.
So this new segment is called Same Name. Your last name is Sparrow.
What?
So I'm going to ask you three questions about birds.
We should have done this with Joe Downer.
We should have.
Your last name is Downer.
Sorry, alcohol.
We're going to ask you about depression.
Sorry, go ahead.
Heroin.
So correctly pick the answer in this multiple choice quiz, and you'll get a Podcast NV sticker.
Oh, sweet.
Ooh. So question number one, here you go. Between the 1950s and 1970s, this bird's population dwindled down to near extinction due to pesticides. It was a conservation success story. What bird came back from the brink? Was it A, sparrows, B, ospreys, or C, hummingbirds?
What was the year again?
Between 1950 and 1970.
Ooh. Can I help him?
I wish I could have been like, just, I know that.
Can I help him?
Sure.
It's not sparrows.
I don't know.
Brian did his research.
Sort of eliminated that one ahead of time.
I did actually, too. I looked up so much random shit about sparrows today. Oh my God! All right, sorry. Go ahead. What was the do a
I'm
recap
gonna go with
and then
C.
The
yeah
C you want to say hummingbirds? The correct answer is B, the osprey.
It was 50-50.
So the pesticides thinned out their eggshells, so baby birds didn't hatch.
Huh. Aww.
Yeah. Number two, the
I just A baby bird's when you show somebody your nutsack.
That's correct. Yay!
All right. So far, you have earned a quarter of a sticker. Yeah.
What a redemption story.
So number two, the Bastion thrush, also known as the olive-tailed thrush, is a medium-sized, mostly insectivorous thrush found in Australia. It feeds and eats their prey by, I'm sorry, it finds and eats their prey by A, it dislodges worms from leaf piles by farting on them, B, pecking themselves senseless against the bark of trees with the hope it brings out the earwigs, or C, mating, and the female waits around for the male to bring her food.
I think I'm going to go with B.
B, pecking themselves senseless? The correct answer is A. They dislodge worms from leaf piles by farting on them. The excretion of gas shifts the leaf litter on the ground, and it apparently provokes the worms to move around, revealing their location.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
What a way to pick
up. Gopher.
All right. Yeah, I was going to say, how many are there?
This is the last one.
Okay.
The bee-eater bird.
Hold on. Get this right, and you get the sticker. All right.
The I already have a bird. Music is the future sticker.
Hey. That's all you really need anyway.
Hey.
Hey.
The bee-eater bird is one of the most beautiful birds in Europe, and it eats bees for food. How many bees does it eat per day? A, about 20. B, about 150. Or C, about 250.
I wish I could see a picture of this bird.
Yeah, how fat is it? Are bees like really easily digestible?
They're stinging me.
They're not very big birds. They're about the size of a robin.
Really?
And what's the robin the size
50,
of?
50, 100, or 250?
Yep. 50, 150, or 250.
Oh, a robin. A,
you want to go with about 50? Yeah. Actually, no, it's C. It's about 250.
God damn it.
The answer is C, about 250. Before eating a stinging insect, they remove the sting by bashing the insect hard against a hard surface.
Ooh.
First, then they wipe the abdomen to get the stinger to discharge.
Wow. It's a little Nature bit more is than smart. I cared to know, yeah.
This has been same name.
All right.
So you had brought this up before, but two songs I really wanted to kind of highlight were Now and Thoughts and Prayers. So we'll start with Now,
okay.
Which I think is now? A great song. Yeah, right now.
This moment.
Right now.
Spaceballs, anyone?
So
Now?
You know,
now.
There's some reference to social media in it, but tell me more about that song. Where did that come from? How did that come up?
I think most of my songs probably they just happen quickly. Like something inspired me, and I'll have a chord progression, and then the lyrics just they pop out. My friend, I tell the story on the microphone. My friend got kicked out of his band on Facebook, a band that he helped start. It's a guy that I met in Westminster.
Wait, they kicked him out?
They kicked him out of his Facebook? Own band. Yeah. Like they didn't
on
call
Facebook.
Him. They didn't get together. They kicked him out on Facebook.
Oh, what?
So like he was like sort of not the first to know that he was not in the band anymore.
That's harsh.
I was just like, wow, that's what we've come to.
That's rough.
And it's just that's social media. It's like it's not.
You don't need an audience for that.
It's like our avatar. It's not our real. It's not your real person. So that's And his band was great. Like I really liked him. I don't want to say the name. Like, but they like were a Baltimore band that like pop punk, rock and roll, and it just was like I'd only recently got to know him, and to have him kicked out like unceremonious is like not even the right word.
Yeah.
Like, wow, they kicked you out.
But I thought it was cool. You kind of like you were like, "Hey, put this down and just talk to me."
Right.
You know, that's the best way to kind of get to know me.
Be present. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's really really telling. I think it's very important. You know, nowadays. Mm-hmm. So that really hit me. I thought that was really cool.
Thank you.
And Thoughts and Prayers is another great one. So take me through that one.
That one's. I mean, that's like whatever school shooting happened 2.5 years ago, and it was just like, I don't know, I was just sitting there and it had happened. Now I have a child and like it's extra concerning.
Yeah.
Like you can't even go to school and a shooting's gonna happen. And that was another one. Just kind of all spilled out at one. It's like I have a voice note clip of like, oh, this progression's really good and it's working. Like, and then like that was just like the framework, that that chord structure and that that whatever was like where those lyrics fit
on. Yeah. Do you find that you have ideas that you kind of put on the back burner and then lyrics or events or things happen and then you remember, or you go through your notes and you're like, oh, you know, like that would fit kind of what I'm doing right now, something that you thought of months ago?
I mean, most of the time they pop together, like the chords and the song, the lyrics, the melody all pop together at once. But yeah, like I'll have, it's like I said, I've got tons of stuff in my voice notes, like chord progressions that, like, excuse me, I hate forcing lyrics into something, like to just to make, like I want to write a new just song, like, I don't want to just like force,
because
then that's how it sounds, like it sounds like a forced idea.
Yep.
But yeah, what's cool about that song is that's another one with kind of that idea of being present.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, thanks for your thoughts and prayers, but I need more right now. Right. I don't need you just to kind of just brush it off and then go on with your day. Like, kind of be present.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty cool, too. So
that's what, like, I feel like I'm turning into a fucking folk singer, and it's never been my, I used to write all these goofy love songs, and now it's like, I don't know. It's like I'm getting older. It's like things that are important to talk about and sing about have changed for me.
Well, do you think having a kid kind of did that to you a little bit?
100%,
Yeah. And how has that kind of changed kind of going out and doing gigs and stuff? Has that made things a little bit harder to kind of balance?
Driving in Northern Virginia is terrifying.
Sure is. You got to be on
your Virginia
toes.
Drivers.
Yeah,
terrible.
You know, we say the same about you, Maryland.
Yeah, Maryland's awful.
The left lane is for passing.
As soon as you get to the 270 spur,
people that stay in the left
Jesus
lane,
is taking
like,
the wheel.
Come on, get out of the way.
I'm always like, Maryland!
But I will 100% agree with you on that. Yeah.
I still remember how hard it was, you know, with little ones where you go and you play a gig, you come home and you're ready for that, you know, midnight or 2 a.m. feeding and changing, you know, like that's one of those things, like you just get used to just never sleeping.
Yeah,
but, no. You know, you look back on it, you know, but how is that for you? Is that kind of in line?
The first year, especially the second year, like I was not getting sleep. I was talking to Bacon about that earlier, like I lost weight. I wasn't drinking when I went to shows and like was just concerned about getting home and helping take care of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's still, you know, he's just constantly in the back of my head, like, I gotta behave, be careful. Like,
yeah.
He's more important than I am at this point. So.
Sure.
How old, you said 3 years old now?
Three, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you play music for him?
He kind of likes banging on the body and kind of strumming at the strings. And I bought him one of those Tinker Tar things, like the one string nylon string thing. But he just had a
it sounds like one of your solos.
Thanks, Tim. Do you remember back in the day when so years ago when Tim and I were first kind of getting things off the ground, I would come over to his place and we would sit in his basement, and that's where we actually would write. It was either in your basement, we would write lyrics to songs, or at my apartment.
Yep.
And we would just like, we had a, you know,
a notepad
and we would just write all this stuff down. Anyway, his wife had one of these like Fisher Price guitars down there in the basement. It was completely out of tune. And I remember grabbing it and I was like, listen, we were drunk as shit. And I was like,
just write whatever tune it's in.
Yeah. I was like, let's just do it. And I started doing like some kind of pattern. And I remember we were dying laughing for like 20 minutes.
We thought that was the funniest thing in the world.
We got to take this thing on the road.
And I'm like, play it again. Do it again. And you would play it again. And we were rolling the ground laughing. That was the funniest shit ever.
Oh, it was awesome. So that's what I'm thinking. Like, if your son's just like, hey, dad, is he talking yet?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Dada. Yeah. Guitar. Me.
Yeah.
You got to show him the ropes.
I definitely want to encourage him, but it's weird being self-taught. Like, I hope that he gravitates towards that. But I hope he gets his mom's math mind, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Something to fall back on.
You need a practical skill, son.
So I also wanted to ask you about tips and specifically your
just
tip.
Just the tip?
Yeah,
just the tip. Tell us about your tip.
There you go. And also your tip jar. So apparently you've gone through multiple iterations of your tip jar. You're now at version 4.0 now?
I think it is, yeah.
What?
Yeah. So what happened to version 3, 2, and 1?
I think the first one was a giant like Tide Pod like container that I cleaned
nice.
Out.
And, a man of the tide.
It smells nice.
Somewhere along the way, when I was in, I stayed in Dallas on St. Patrick's Day in 2019.
Whole new meaning to laundering money.
It got wrapped.
Sorry, it took me there it is.
It got wrapped in gold tape because I think the band, my friend's band, was playing. They were trying to get tips in that, and that thing just started. You know, it's just like thin plastic. It started breaking, and then I got. I think I'm only on version 3. Because I had a one of those like ice containers that was version 2, and then 3 is like some Tupperware thing.
Oh, ice like a hotel.
Yeah, okay. Like an ice nice. Bucket. Yeah. my friend Sam did. I think they called it. A lot of my friends worked in TV. A lot of them worked at E Entertainment, so like they were hanging out at lunch, and they'd concoct ideas and film dumb stuff. But my friend Sam did the 21 Bell Salute, where you buy. I can't remember if it's 21 items or $21 worth of food from Taco Bell and try to consume it all.
Oof. That's nothing. Yeah.
I know. And, that's me on the way home after this.
I think it must have been 21 items because like he ate a lot of food and like it's I think it's somewhere on YouTube too, and like about two-thirds of the way through he puked.
Yeah.
Like, and the music is just like this sad
He's not
song.
A man.
Remember when they used to have like the box of tacos you could get at Taco Bell?
Yeah.
Like, and you and I always talked about like getting it on the way home. Yes. You know, after gigs, it's like, you hungry? And every time Brad goes, you hungry? And I'm like, really? Do you really have to ask?
I'm always, that's I'm my in. Secret. Yeah. I'm always I'm hungry.
I miss Mexamelts. Those were my favorite.
That's so I have been fortunate over my lifetime to know so many people that are cool with Taco Bell, right? There are some people where it's like Caesar's Pizza for you.
Yeah.
Where it's I can't do it. Sorry. Taco Bell, easy. Yeah. And my condo that I was talking about where we used to do the film for during COVID, is across the street from Taco Bell. So after we would have a gig or if it was just late night or whatever was happening, right across the street. You could even walk if you really needed to.
Run for the bell.
Yeah, you run for the bell.
And you run for the bathroom.
Right after the bell.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, we'd get back home and the island in my kitchen would just be covered in like wrappers.
And sauce.
Cheesy gordita crunch. The seven layer burrito?
No, beefy five layer burrito.
Is that what it is?
Oh yeah, I get it every time.
All over the place.
Double decker tacos.
Sorry, I get really excited when I talk about
Taco Bell did give us Baja Blast.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't know if you're huge soda fans. I tried to drink less, but I love Baja
One way
Blast.
Or the other. They're going to Baja Blast you. <get ya.
laughs> This segment brought to you by Taco Bell. Run for the border.
I would be so happy.
Can we get Taco Bell and Mi Campo to just
come
on, sponsors?
Like hook us up, right?
Right.
We talk about it.
We'll talk about it.
Although the problem is, like, I think our podcast would go down a little bit because Timmy would be over here in the corner just... Munching.
On, you know. No, but that could be part of our segment. You guys hear that sound?
Yeah, it's Timmy's ASMR.
That's a Taco Bell burrito. Yeah. Tim, what you got on that bad boy?
Yeah. Oh, I got a little bit of Diablo, a little bit of fire sauce.
That's right.
That's right.
Get it, dude. You got to mix it. That's how I like it.
Yeah. Give me that salsa verde. Yeah.
Because I like it cool, but I also like it spicy.
Speaking of hot sauce.
You sounded like Walton Coggins when you said that.
No, is that Billy?
Maybe Billy's Bible bumpers.
Yeah, the Bible bumpers.
What happened? Hey, baby Billy, how much money are you making? I'm making nothing after I paid a scientist and everybody in the marketing. I make nothing, absolutely nothing. I do it for my loyal fans, for my people. I love y'all. I love y'all. Just come out, see me. My name is Baby Billy.
You sound just like him. That's kind of uncanny.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
So speaking of hot sauce, I mean, first off, thank you for bringing in the Whiskey Saints CDs.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
But I was really hoping you'd bring in some of your very own Tapatio's hot sauce.
Yeah. What?
Well, my goodness.
My friend did that Photoshop thing. I love it. It's my favorite.
So, is it real or is it not real?
It's not real.
It's my face on the Tapatio bottle.
It is. You were pretty close to it.
Yeah.
No, but he does a great job with his promotional flyers like you do. So that was one of...
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yours are awesome. Yeah. If you scroll through, because Instagram's great because, right, it's on a grid. Uh-huh. And you can just kind of scroll down. You got 3, 6, 9 at a time. And you do a really great job of, like, I can't even tell what's real and what's not.
I have shit Photoshop skills, but the one I love...
They're good. I'm just complimenting you.
From forever ago, I used to run... it was like a songwriter night at this bar called O'Brien's in Santa Monica. And I'd always try to pump it up. And I think one of them, it was like with paint. I think I just Photoshopped my head onto all the Beatles on Help. So it's just four of me in the jackets, like with our hands
just
up.
Just kind of had like awesome. A feathered thing that around line. Your head. Yeah. Well, if you would like, I am hiring. Oh, yeah. If you're available, I could use some help. I do okay.
I've been using Canva lately. I actually use Canva for my new album cover and for the new single that's coming out.
So do you find that Canva, because I use Canva too, and I got turned onto it by, I don't even know who, but it's like over time, like you start realizing how much it can actually do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was thinking about like, so the picture I'm using for the new single was actually the cover of one of my band's, like Dark Ages, old covers. And I hit up the photographer. I was like, do you have a copy of this? But I just like Photoshopped out the text on it and zoomed in on it and put the title work on it, done. Like, that probably took fucking a week, like 20 years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah.
And it was just done. It feels terrible, but it's amazingly convenient.
So do you find that it's pretty good then for, like, because I use it primarily for video or for, like, almost like boomerang stuff, you mm-hmm. know, like just kind of something to kind of draw your attention to certain things like the date or like who's doing what or whatever.
Right.
But do you use it primarily for stills and use it for like
yeah, just editing. For photography kind
yeah.
of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll have to look into
brought to you by Canva.
Yeah, right. Look at that.
They helped me out with the YouTube thumbnails. I started using right. them for that.
Yeah. It's only $118.99 per year.
I'm yeah. only using the free.
Oh, yeah. I'm a chump. I want my money back.
I signed up for the free trial, got the thumbnail thing.
And you were like, cancel, started like, a new email yep. account.
That's you right. got another new free yeah. trial.
Soccer Girl 69.
I've got 6 emails to go through.
I knew
hey,
it.
He's up to the Soccer Girl 69.
I knew you'd be writing into us eventually.
69. How dare you uncover me?
This is awesome. now all the truths come out.
No, I was not Soccer Girl 69.
All right, we doing this or that?
We are doing this or that.
All right, here we go. You got everybody shut up. It's this or that.
This or that. I love you.
This or that.
And welcome to another episode of This or That.
Thanks, Sylvester.
All right, Mr. David Sparrow, there have been several bulleted this or that questions here put together specifically for you. As I'm looking at them, it appears to be at least 15.
Damn. Okay.
That's, all right.
I feel like that's more than I've heard on these podcasts, but I'm excited for it.
These are in no particular order.
Is that like your numbers game?
Yeah.
You totally.
Kind of. Yeah, exactly. You know what? You're just going to. I have the microphone. You will listen to every damn word I have to say. All right. We're going to start with the first one again. Could be the last one. I don't know. 90s or 2000s music?
Oh, 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you
yeah.
find that?
I feel like so many of these will be snap judgments, but. I know that's when I was cutting my teeth, I guess.
Do you find that you play more 90s music or that you just enjoy more of between the two 90s music?
Both. I enjoy it and perform it, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I try to scrape some good 2000s, like The Killers, for sure.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
I gravitate towards the 90s.
Do you have a killer song on your list?
I do. I think all these things that I've done, I have that. It's like I rarely do it, but I do Mr. Brightside. Yeah.
You and a very close friend of mine You guys, I could see the two of you drinking in your car and just singing that song together. I came in, you got your guitar.
I think the 90s is full of so much great music, man.
Like, yeah, yeah.
That was my coming up years, too, and I just love the 90s music.
Amen. It could be argued that there was... That might have been the last bit of lawlessness in the music industry,
yeah,
where people could actually kind of make a name for themselves. Kind of going back to what we were talking about with the indie scene,
yeah,
getting, you know, their music into TV shows and whatever, and then suddenly the game turning on them and them becoming mainstream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
A weird touchstone for me is, like, a buddy of mine worked at Soundgarden record store in Baltimore and turned me on to, like, to indie rock, like Matador and, like, the little labels. And I moved to LA in 2003. In 2004, Float On came out. To tie it into,
yeah,
what, your episode from 2 weeks,
yeah,
ago.
Or, yeah, exactly.
Float On, I was like, this sounds really happy. Like, is this Modest, mm-hmm, Mouse? Like,
oh, and then you listen to the rest of their stuff.
Well, yeah, but I love their new records. Like, they've done cool stuff. Like, Johnny Marr became their guitar player for a while. But I'm happy for them. Like, they sold out because they deserved to do it, because they released, like, what, like, three or four albums before, mm-hmm, that album came out.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the funny thing, is that their music before that song that I'd listened to.
Oh, it's mopey.
Not even close. Not even close. All right. Would you rather perform on stage or a backyard party?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
It is tough because each carries its own different reasons for why you're there.
I think on stage, and then have a backyard party afterwards.
There you go.
That's a great answer, actually. That. Yeah. So speaking of backyard parties, beer pong or cornhole?
God.
Which one are you better at?
I said these are going to be snap answers. I'm kind of shitty at both of them. I came down to it probably beer pong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you find that you, like, hit your flow after a first round kind of thing, or what?
Yeah, you find that stroke.
Yeah.
I had friends in LA who would go to Vegas for the beer pong Olympics.
Yeah.
And I guess at the beer pong Olympics, your cups are filled with water, which sort of, to me, defeats the purpose. Well,
maybe you shouldn't come over and play beer pong at our house.
Oh, you do it with water?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So it's funny you say that. Growing up, college experience, yes, beer in the cups. But also college experience, you're just like, you know, whatever you are, 18, 19, 20 years, and you're just trying to get laid, or you're just trying to have fun.
And you're just happy to have whatever. Beer, right?
You're just happy to have anything, right? Because you can only afford Keystone Light and, yeah, whatever, yeah, else is light on sale. Yeah. Yeah.
This segment brought to you by
Milwaukee's Beast.
Natty Bo.
Natty Bo is great.
It is actually
I miss Natty
great.
Bo. Every time I'm in Maryland, I'll stop in to get Natty Bo.
Yeah, no. Nowadays, it's just water. But... Actually, if you were to come over and play beer pong at my house, I do have, depending on the audience,
tequila.
I do have tequila. I do have tequila.
You've got a bit of that.
But I try to play firm rules. Like, if we're playing with water in the cups, like, there are, you know, if both of your teammates on your side miss, you both have to drink.
Right.
Take a sip. Yeah. You know, like, yeah, yeah, we'll sip throughout. Yeah, yeah. You know, you
watch
may not
your
have
elbows
to drink
too.
The cup. But yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a bunch of rules involved, yeah, but yeah, it's meant,
it's
like,
ridiculous.
We'll figure it out.
You're jogging so many things in my head. There was some kids would play a game. This is like five years ago, like, where you'd, like, throw dice on the table and, like, bounce it up really high. Does that ring a bell at all?
No.
They play
to
some
what
crazy
end?
Shit with, like, where you have to, like, bounce it and then, like, catch it in the air. Like,
what?
I don't know.
And then
it was like, it was the evolution of beer pong.
Just
anywho,
to be fair, I've only finished number three. Here we go. Number four.
Silly Dokio.
Given the season, because it is currently October, horror or Halloween movies, or like horror / Halloween movies, or holiday movies like Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Can I,
like, are we thinking like Hallmark or?
I never saw it growing up, but I love The Nightmare Before Christmas. But I'm not a huge horror fan.
Okay,
so I don't know where it lands. Like
that, yeah. I think that is probably, if we had time for a whole other conversation of whether or not it's a holiday or
these are supposed
a
to be quick.
No,
you're good.
So you like the more horror Halloween movies?
I growing up a church kid, I internalize horror movies, so I'll go with the other one.
Nice. The holiday movies.
I feel I'm you on that. You. I feel
yeah,
you on
I'm
that.
There.
All right.
Oh man, we could have another podcast about that too.
There's going to be a bunch of people coming back just yeah. for the conversations yeah. that you want to have.
This is the podcast called Trauma Dump.
And now with bacon.
Straight jacket in the fucking pounded room.
Brought to you by Taco Bell.
Yeah. You love that.
Dude, I would just sit here and say nothing.
And eat the Taco Bell?
Yes. Yeah. Just listen to everybody talk. Yeah. Yeah. Can Tim and I just show up and all you hear is like...
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, tell me about your trauma.
Yeah. You know, David's over here bawling his eyes out.
Yeah.
I'd hug you.
Brian's tossing me the salsa verde sauce. I'm like, hey, we're good.
I'll wipe the sauce off my shirt and I can give you a hug then.
Tell me more about Jack Skellington. Jack Sparrow or Jack Skellington?
All right, speaking of the holidays... So during the winter holidays, are you at the beach or are you in the snow?
In the snow.
In the snow?
Yeah.
So you like the cold?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I lived in Paradise for a long time, but I do miss the seasons changing and I don't miss blizzards, but we're probably not going to have them anymore because of climate change.
True. Blizzards are pretty much over down here.
So a blanket
of snow is all right.
We only get a sheet of snow now these days.
Yeah.
And separate question, actually, not that I was planning to ask this, but what were the holidays like in L.A.?
I mean, most years I came home to be with family, like leading up to New Year's. But it's lonely. It's weird. Like, I guess, like, you know, we had Friendsgiving or Friends Christmas.
Yeah. I did that once in Miami.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Yeah. It was just a bunch of drunk things.
Was there a tree?
Happening.
Was there a tree?
There was no tree, actually.
There could have been some. A tree.
There were trees around us.
Smoking trees.
I just got that. Sorry.
All right. Being from and living in Maryland, are you team blue crab or any other crab, like snow crab?
Blue crab.
Blue crab.
Yeah.
Maybe not any other crab.
Yeah. Well, I know. I was thinking...
Are you going to ask him Old Bay or salt and pepper?
Not the itchy ones.
No, wait. What's... Jesus Christ.
He was picking up when I was putting it down.
It took me a second. All right. I got a couple off-the-wall questions. These are coming out of nowhere. Dunder Mifflin or Michael Scott Paper Company?
Cool. God. Michael Scott.
Yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, he's kind of the core. Yeah, he won. Yeah. All right.
He did win.
All right. Tim, anything?
No, I agree.
You're quiet on that one. Okay.
I agree.
Gas or electric? And I know that's pretty broad. I think my original reason for writing that down was cars.
Taco Bell. Gas, because that's how it works right now, but I want to move towards electric. But it's Elon Musk isn't saving the world with electric cars. It's cost a shit ton of money to build that shit. So.
Yeah.
Well, if you're
it's got its offset.
If you're the Bastion Thrush, it's gas all the way.
Oh, that's right. That's how you pick up chicks.
Oh, baby. Yeah.
Was that a bird joke?
Yeah, it was. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Just turning leaves wherever they fall.
Yeah.
So, side question, when you're going to gigs and you're playing solo, for instance, if you're providing your own sound, what is the car that you're driving? Like, do you have a small car and you're clown carring
sedan.
The whole thing? Okay.
It does feel like a clown car when I'm playing a bigger gig where I'm lugging stuff. I did these wedding gigs where I was like throwing a whole big PA rig into my car and it was a clusterfuck, but It's fine for what I do now.
Yeah, it works.
My Toyota Corolla is getting me where I need to
go. What year is it?
2020.
All right. Nice. All right. Yeah, I feel like that's probably got some room.
Yeah.
Gas mileage, bitches.
Yeah.
Love it.
Are you a gamer guy?
Used to be. Just lately. My friend that I've been recording, that I recorded with in Long Island, introduced me to Fortnite. He has a 10-year-old son, and I was like, I'm never playing that game. We played, like, in downtime, and now I'm hooked
to figure it out. Yeah. All right. So the question is it Xbox or PlayStation?
Switch.
I have a Switch. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I was always a Nintendo person growing up.
Yeah.
But it'd be PlayStation if I had to pick between those two.
Yeah. Okay. Are you the type of individual to go out and see a movie in the theater? Or nowadays, especially that when movies are in the theater, you can also rent them at home. Are you the stay-at-home guy to watch the movie at home?
I mean, I would choose theater over staying at home, yeah. That's the way it was, you know, we're artists.
Intended.
Like, it's supposed to be seen on the big screen, yeah.
So then are you IMAX or are you, like, just standard surround sound kind of?
Standard is fine, but I think I went and saw, it was, God, more than 5 years ago now, I saw Star Wars in 3D IMAX and also Hateful Eight, which was cool.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's a good flick. Bet. Yeah. Yeah. I went and saw an IMAX movie years ago and I showed up late. I guess it was around the time that it was like free for all and you couldn't just like book your own seat kind of thing. So I was like this.
Craning. Yeah. I think I saw 300 in IMAX too. And like we got in late.
It was like
we
that were like
pretty close.
You're like, God damn it. $20 for what?
A neck ache.
Yeah. Chiropractor appointment.
There you go.
All right. Well, I'm gonna fast track to the last two. Okay. Mm. And one of them is extremely relevant to our conversation earlier. Are you a soft shell or a hard shell taco kind of guy?
Oh, I thought you were going to say crab.
Me too. Yeah, I was thinking crabs too.
Really?
That was sneaky. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be hard shell crab. Hard shell taco. Yeah.
Hard shell crab and taco.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you remember the double decker that Shaq used to promote way back in the day?
I always liked, I don't remember that, but I always liked the, it was like the chalupa wrapped in a, what did they call
the
it?
Cheesy gordita, the gordita crunch. Yeah.
I love those.
That's my go-to.
Those are so good.
That's an easy go-to.
Yep. Hell yeah.
So back in the day, they used to call it the double decker and Shaq used to be the big promoter of it. And it used to be the hard shell wrapped in the soft shell. And in between, it was the baked bean like spread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Tim's like, I know. Bring me right
dude,
back.
I totally go to Taco Bell after this podcast episode.
There's one right down the street.
I know.
I was going to say, just so you know, before you hit 15, if you just want to keep going down 50 East, hit the Taco Bell and you can still circle back and hit the 15 up.
Yeah, because I got to go to 15 too.
He's going south.
I go south.
You're
go
going
north.
North.
Just follow Tim. Yeah. I'll wave to you.
All right, the last one. You ready? The last one. It's food related. This is going to give us some additional insight as to what kind of man you are.
Oh, my manhood's being questioned. I thought this was about music.
Oh, we've passed music.
Yeah.
Are you tater tots or... Are you are you tater tots or onion rings?
Oh, tater tots.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd take tater tots.
Hell yeah, tater tots.
And be a weirdo and dip them in mustard.
At what point, I would do that. At what point would you choose onion rings over fried potatoes?
If that's the only thing they had.
Wow.
Wow.
Because there are some, I mean, if you order onion rings at a restaurant, mm-hmm. It's usually an upcharge.
Well, and tater tots are consistent. Like onion rings aren't always great.
Yeah,
yeah. Sometimes it's like
the blooming
the
bread,
onion. The breading's good, and like the onion inside's all like shrunk up and gross.
The closest to consistency on onion rings is Burger King. Those are the closest to consistent. Mm.
At what year was this test performed?
This was approximately 1998. Ah.
Was this indeed. Just after the Great Celery Depression?
Oh. Yeah, I would cut carrots
when,
for me.
When everything changed.
I will have you know, I cooked bean soup, white bean soup, this weekend.
Okay.
And it calls for celery, and I put celery in it.
And
they
have you been selling it and not eating it?
No, but I've eaten it, and it was delicious. I have a container of it if you guys want it.
He's trying to get rid of it.
Yeah. Yep, he's like, we are. I can't take
fucking
the celery.
Celery ruins everything.
Bacon can't do celery. Of course he would put something together that requires celery.
What about chicken salad?
Ugh, no celery.
Yes. Really? Oh. Celery and
if
pickles.
If it's like finely chopped, oh, no pickles.
I would rather have,
really?
I would rather have nuts in my chicken salad than
D's.
D's nuts.
Awkward. That's even better. Keep it.
It works.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, man. I meant walnuts. No, not walnuts. No.
D's nuts.
Pecans.
Baby Billy. Baby Billy's got these nuts.
Pecan pie.
Yeah, you said it though, right?
Oh, every day.
You can catch him doing an original set opening for Dan Ingram on January 23rd at 7 p.m. at Moss Burgers Tavern in Catonsville, Maryland. He'll also be with Tavir Dominique opening. You can find all the details at davidsparrowmusic.com. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
This podcast. Yeah. We had a great time. Yes, cheers.
Look at you two. Yeah. Seriously, you guys got to come back for an episode on your own.
Yeah. I'll bring the Taco Bell.
David, can you say something to the effect of take us home?
Take us home.
This podcast was produced and engineered by Michael Bacon from Bacon Wade Productions in cooperation with Revelry Media Productions. Video was provided by Brian Johnson. Please like and subscribe to stay up to date on our latest episodes. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at PodcastRNV and on TikTok at Podcast.NV. Send us your thoughts over email at feedback@PodcastNV.com.
What was that? The octopus? Is that what Mackenzie?
Yeah.
Whenever she had that. Yeah.
That was her code word.
There you go.
Yeah.
I need the octopus.
I got to drop
I need
D.
the ink.
Yeah.
That ink is going to stink.
You are a songwriter.
Look at you.